if you have a sibling and your parents say, your sibling's gonna stay in your room now. The two of you are gonna live in the same room together. But you've, up until this point, have had your own room. How would you feel about that? Your sibling is messy. You're clean. Plays with certain toys that you don't like playing with. How do you reconcile that? I mean, that's kind of what happens in society on a grander scale, is like what happens in the home, where two kids are arguing over a toy or space within the home. You wouldn't invite a complete stranger. You wouldn't put a sign on your front door that said, anyone can come in and eat out of my refrigerator. No, there's a border there. There's a boundary. You don't come into my house unless I invite you in. This is what is happening in society, in the world right now, with all of this Taurus energy, with Jupiter, Uranus, and now Venus, and then Venus being squared by Pluto and Aquarius. It's bringing that tension in terms of what's mine, what's yours, what do I need to share with you in order to make peace.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of April 29th to May 5th. Hi, Gabriella.
Hi, Scott.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about this conjunction happening between Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion. And Uranus, the primordial sky god, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected. These two planets are within 2 degrees of each other from April 9th to May 2nd. So they're starting to move apart from one another. Jupiter's pulling away from Uranus this week. But when we were discussing this a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned how the last time Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus was April to May of 1941, which we know was in the midst of World War II. But we had also mentioned, if there's any historians out there, then you have some information about this time period or any other time period where Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus, reach out. And two of my clients, a husband and wife, Anna and Andy. Anna's also an astrologer, and Andy is a historian. They reached out with some information. I had actually given them some other dates that Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus, which who knows what was going on, from November to January 1181 AD to 1182 AD, or even May to June 1858. But Andy does, so...
Perfect.
Yes, and he really did a nice job of breaking this down. Like, some of the general themes that he noticed through these time periods were a rise in religious powers and religious conflicts, improvements in farming techniques and technology, climate change. This was a warming period. And cultural dominance in war and the effects thereof. So this all occurred, like these different dates that I'd given Andy. This is when the Vikings were having their dominance on the world. And then Genghis Khan, he was rising into power. Of course, there was World War II. A couple interesting notes that I wanted to point out were in the 1181-1182 period, this is when iron plows replaced wooden plows. That was the technological advancement in farming. It was going from the wooden plow to the iron plow. There also seems to be a theme in terms of the persecution of Jewish people. Because in this 1181-82 period, Philip Augustus of France accused the Jewish people of ritual murder in order to confiscate their wealth, land, and property, banishing them from his land. He used the wealth to remain on the throne. So that is like an interesting correlation to what happened in the 1940s with the Holocaust. And then right now what's going on in the Middle East, whatever side, you know, you stand on with that, there's obviously a lot of tension with the Jewish people.
So interesting.
Yes. I'd given him another date, March to April 850 AD. And he said that is when this warming period began. From 850 to 1315 was known as the medieval warming period. Temperatures rose in Europe and the climate became ideal for farming. Vikings settled in Greenland. English farmers began to grow grapes for wine. And the population in Europe grew.
So the conjunction indicates heat.
Potentially, Jupiter, which is the planet that rules Sagittarius, which is a fire sign. Uranus rules Aquarius, which is an air sign. So they're bringing the fire and air energy to the earth sign of Taurus, heating it up, building the fire. When you go back to those dates in 1941, April to May, during World War II, that is when Germany entered Athens. Greece surrendered to Germany. Germany took over Greece during that period. That was April 21st to the 28th. The Germans destroyed the House of Commons in London during that period, and 3,600 Jews were arrested in Paris. Crazy time. And here we are again.
We really do live in cycles.
Yes, we do.
But we lose our sense of it because our lifespans are only a certain period
exactly.
of time.
Yes. Everyone who's ever lived, I feel like, thinks that they're living in the end times. The end of the world. It's going to happen in my lifetime. There's a real sort of grandiose sense of self to think that you're going to be here when the world ends. But the thing is the world does end for each and every one of us.
I think we have an ingrained sense in each and every one of us that we really need our lives to matter. We need to feel like being here at this particular time has meant something for us, for our family, for people we've come into contact with. That can be one reason why we really want to believe that. I would say every period of history is interesting and innovative in its own way. There is maybe an inclination to think that we're living in a time that's more significant somehow, that would lend itself to some grandiosity.
Yeah, indeed. And so here we are, April 29th to May 5th, 2024. And this week we're going to be highlighting Venus transiting into Taurus, Mars transiting into Aries, so two planets transiting into the signs that they rule, while Pluto also begins its retrograde this week.
Can you share a little bit about what that means when a planet moves into a sign that it rules? Like, why does that matter? What does that indicate?
When a planet transits into the sign that it rules, we receive the full capacity of the energy of that planet. It's like if you're wearing your favorite pair of jeans or your favorite shoes or you're eating your favorite food. It's akin to that where like Neptune has been transiting through Pisces, the sign that it rules, since 2012. What has that done for us? You can look at that and say, has it been good? Has it been bad? It's been both.
So it indicates that the energy is amplified in some way, would you say?
That's one way to put it. It's amplified. I mean, it's in its flow. It's doing what it's meant to do in the sign where it does it best. Like Neptune is the planet of dreams, fantasy, illusion, the unconscious. Where is it going to be strongest? In the sign of dreams, fantasy, illusion, the unconscious. Pisces, the sign that it rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
So it's kind of like when you go back to your childhood home and you have a sense of like comfortability,
familiarity
yeah. connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. This is where the planet is the strongest,
mm-hmm.
is here. So whether that's good or bad is all how it's affecting us in our own astrological code.
Right.
So this is why I always encourage those listening to reach out to me for a reading for clarity on how these energies are affecting you directly, because they are affecting every individual in a unique way.
Right.
Depending on where it's transiting in your astrological code and what it's aligning to in your astrological code.
Mm-hmm.
As Venus transits into Taurus, which is on April 29th, Monday, and it's transiting through Taurus until May 23rd. The last time Venus transited through Taurus was May 16th to April 10th, 2023. The time before that was May 28th to June 22nd, 2022. Venus is Lady Luck, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships. Taurus is the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull. The bull is that creature that is happiest in a wide open field with plenty of space around it, the cool grass beneath it, the warm sun baking on its back, and all the fragrances, the flowers, of the field, the forest carrying into its senses. Its five physical senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. What do I like? What smells good? What tastes good? What looks good? What feels good? What sounds good? We all are going to have a greater awareness of our senses as Venus transits through Taurus. Now that sounds good.
It does.
Yeah. But
if we like what we're encountering.
But the thing is like if you were born with key astrological points in Aquarius or Leo, Aquarius is fixed air, Leo is fixed fire, Taurus is fixed earth. So they're all fixed. They make a strong connection to one another, but earth doesn't mix with air. And fire scorches earth, earth extinguishes fire. That creates tension. So what's the reality of what that means for somebody that has a key astrological point or planet in one of those signs? So when you think of the Leo generation, the people that were born with Pluto in Leo, 1937 to 1957, when Venus transits through Taurus, they go through a potentially challenging period of a death and rebirth of their relationship energy. But the death and rebirth of that relationship energy is most likely due to a sense of selfishness, where that Leo energy is the king and the Taurus energy is the king's bookkeeper. It's like the king says, I want to spend it. I want to spend it all. And the bookkeeper is like, no, you can't. We don't have the money for you to spend everything that you want. So maybe people that were born with Pluto in Leo, they experience some sort of conflict within their relationship over money and their material well-being. But I really like this so much. I want to buy three of them. No, we only can afford one. This may come about for those that were born with the sun in Leo, where they have that urge to want to spend more than they have. The Aquarius energy is the pull to the community versus what's mine. Because Aquarius is all about the community. And this is something that we're going to be experiencing intensely at the beginning of this transit, because from April 29th to May 2nd, Venus is going to be squaring Pluto in Aquarius, the god of death, lord of the underworld, the planet of transformation. Aquarius, the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer, representing invention, but the community. So there's maybe some tension over what's mine and what's ours.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like kind of a distribution of power or a renegotiation of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is something that we're all going to be experiencing, whether or not you were born with a key astrological point or planet in Aquarius. Just the beginning of this transit with Venus in Taurus squaring Pluto in Aquarius, which happens exactly on Tuesday, April 30th, there's stress around your needs versus what the community needs from you. That's the negotiation.
Because we've been talking a lot about how when you show up authentically in yourself, it benefits the community in terms of those two being complementary. But it sounds like this transit is going to highlight the ways in which that might not always be the case, that there could be times where focusing on yourself might appear to be hurting the community and vice versa.
Maybe.
And so what would you say the lesson is in that tension?
The lesson is finding the balance between what do you truly need and what can you give of value to those around you. Because like when you say like the community is benefited when everyone's being authentic, if you give something of value to the community, does the community value what you value? Are you in the right community? Does the community or the group or the society that I'm in value what I value? Do they honor or respect my values? If not, then maybe the lesson is I'm not in the right community. I'm not in the right group. Because what I value is different than what the group values. And I want to be in a group where I don't feel strained by giving something of value, because what I have to give is valued by the group.
Is there also a piece here around generosity versus maybe greed?
Perhaps, yes.
Like, what is the intention with which I'm giving?
Well, what's the root of greed? The root of greed is fear. Fear that I'm not going to have enough. And fear comes from a threat. Like, when you think of the historical implications of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Like, let's just take the Holocaust, for example. Why did the Germans round up and put the Jews in a bunch of death camps? Because they feared them.
They feared what they represented. Yeah.
Well, they feared that they, like, their sort of mentality was like, they're making all the money. They're flourishing, we're suffering. So in order for us to cease our suffering, we need to put the suffering on them, and then we will flourish.
So greed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greed and abuse of power.
I think some good questions for everyone to ask themselves during this period is, what or whom do I feel threatened by within the group? What or whom do I feel threatened by within the group? And if you feel a threat, that is where the greed comes in, of wanting to take from another or not give another something that they need, because I fear that I'm not going to have enough because I'm threatened by them. Because two mouths to feed is more than I can afford. I need to feed myself first.
So there's a real potential for survival wounds to be activated during this time.
Yes. Yes.
I might not have enough to survive.
Exactly. So, like, when you think of, like, why did World War II happen in the first place? Because World War I happened. And after World War I, the Allied forces, they broke Germany. Like, people were burning money to stay warm. That's how worthless the money was there. But yet, the Jewish people, because they're such a tightly knit group, they were able to find a way to thrive within this depressed dynamic because of how they rely on each other and their own sort of inner community within the grander society. So when other people are feeling threatened, like they can't survive, but they're seeing other people thrive, they want to take from the people that are thriving and think that that's going to ease their need for survival.
Creating a wound to fix a wound.
Exactly.
Or heal a wound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I kill you, then I will save myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's really ugly primal behavior.
Mm-hmm. It does feel primal. It feels like it's a part of our animal nature.
Mm-hmm.
Survival of the fittest, or it has a real dark quality to it.
Yes. And so, continuing with the dark quality of things and the primal nature, we can look at the lighter side for things too, but
I want to say too something about that word dark, or sometimes we use the word shadow to refer to something that's evil, or we use darkness to refer to evil. But I want to also reframe that the darkness, it represents the unconscious, in which there are, everything lives in the unconscious.
Yes.
Every sort of impulse.
Yes.
So the darkness, when I say darkness, it's representing a part of ourselves. Like, when we act from a really primal place and don't necessarily consciously understand where it's coming from, that indicates it's coming from the unconscious, coming from the darkness.
Yes.
Which is an area that we don't have access to in our waking life.
So the darkness is not bad.
I mean, we're talking about some pretty evil things that have happened in our history, so I don't want to say that what's happened is not evil in nature, because it is, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yes.
But generally speaking about darkness, there's more to it than just a good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
These impulses come from somewhere.
Right. Well, fear doesn't necessarily come from darkness or from the shadow.
Right.
Fear can also be in the light. Evil can be in the light.
They can both be conscious or unconscious.
Yes, exactly. Where somebody knows they're doing something evil and they're doing it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of this kind of happening in the world, obviously with the conflict in the Middle East, the conflict in Eastern Europe, the conflicts that are not talked about, like what's happening in Armenia over borders, land, this is mine, that's not yours.
Well, there's something very Taurus about that, right? Not being able to agree on where the borders are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think that that would be sort of a black and white issue, right? You would think in some ways it's connected to you mentioned the senses,
mm-hmm.
are ruled by Taurus. So what do you see? I mean, where is the border?
Yes.
Feels like it should be somehow easy to identify or mm-hmm. to honor.
Right. Or when you think about the United States, what a lot of people talk about is like, where is the border? There is no border, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like people just coming on over in droves. So people fighting over borders, people disputing over borders, people saying there's no border. Like there is a lot of attention being brought to the reality of where things stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, and too, I think there's a consciousness around, I think about this all the time with any sort of border that mm-hmm. we, you know, create between states or between countries. It's all so arbitrary. It's
made up.
Just something, yeah, that we just all agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's not working and for some reason it's creating conflict, we have the power to adjust it. And yet, We just can't somehow. We can't seem to resolve that really basic conflict around what is mine and what is yours.
Yes.
Which ultimately is an issue of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
To not be able to transcend that mine and yours. It's like when children are learning how to share, before they really understand the concept of it, it's like an earth-shattering. Like it can feel like a betrayal. Like if I don't know if you remember what it was like when you learned how to share, but if you witness two children who are like in that process of their own ego development and realizing that I'm going to have to share my toy with my sibling, it's developmentally a huge shift.
Mm-hmm. And it might feel like a threat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in some ways, like we get stuck there. I think we can look at conflicts that are going on
mm-hmm.
around the world and to a degree relate to them within our own system.
Inner conflict.
In terms of, yes, but in terms of like, what is that issue about developmentally? An issue of not being able to agree on where a border is, to me, is an ego issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing how to share, not understanding how to relate to self and other at a really fundamental level.
Well, but at the same time, it's like, how do you share with certain people? Because like when you have very strong religious beliefs or a certain type of values that stem from your religion, because Taurus is the sign that represents values, which are based upon your senses, which is Venus. So with Pluto squaring Venus, it's a transformation of your values by some grander authority or community authority, let's say. It's like, for instance, if you have a sibling and your parents say, your sibling's going to stay in your room now. The two of you are going to live in the same room together. But you've, up until this point, have had your own room. How would you feel about that? Your sibling is messy. You're clean. Plays with certain toys that you don't like playing with. How do you reconcile that? I mean, that's kind of what happens in society on a grander scale, is like what happens in the home, where two kids are arguing over a toy or space within the home.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't invite a complete stranger. You wouldn't put a sign on your front door that said, anyone can come in and eat out of my refrigerator. No, there's a border there. There's a boundary. You don't come into my house unless I invite you in. This is what is happening in society, in the world right now, with all of this Taurus energy, with Jupiter, Uranus, and now Venus, and then Venus being squared by Pluto in Aquarius. It's bringing that tension in terms of what's mine, what's yours, what do I need to share with you in order to make peace? What do you need to share with me? I think it's sometimes easy, not saying that you're saying this, but, you know, for people to just think that, like, what's a border? Like a bird just flies over, you know? There's no borders. But you wouldn't leave your front door open all night long for anyone else to come in. It's just a different level of security. That if you come into my home, then you take off your shoes. That's what we value here. In your home, you don't care, we'll all wear our shoes. That's how you value it in your home. Taking it to that grander scheme of, in this country, these are the laws, these are the customs. Different than that country over there. That's why we have a line separating us. Because just like I don't live in my neighbor's home, and my neighbor doesn't live in my home, but we respect each other because we're neighbors. We want to respect each other. But if your neighbor starts making noise or puts a compost in the backyard and now all of a sudden you're getting rats in your patio.
This is a real life example here.
Then there is there's a dispute of the border.
Mm-hmm.
You have different values than us. We have to talk about this. You have to remove your compost because your compost is creating a rat infestation. Or you have to cover your, you have to have an enclosed compost. There has to come to terms. And so this is all arising right now. And it's going to heat up too, because Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, transits into the sign that it rules, the cardinal fire sign, symbolized by the ram. That is a creature that tests boundaries. How many times do I need to hit you in the head before you back down? Or I back down, because you're hitting me in the head too. So Mars is transiting through Aries April 30th to June 8th. The last time Mars transited through Aries was May 24th to July 4th, 2022. The time before that was June 27th, 2020, to the infamous January 6th, 2021, which was the whole storming of the Capitol thing. That happened the day that Mars transited out of Aries. And you know, when it moves into a sign or out of a sign, that's intense. That's when the energy can feel most intense, because it's shocking. It's like jumping into a cold plunge of water. Whoa! It's a shock to the system. This is going to stoke the fire for those boundaries, those borders. this is mine, that's yours. You back off. Step away. Don't mm-hmm. come, don't cross this line, or else we're going to fight.
So we're really being reminded that we have egos, essentially.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing yes. from that.
Yes.
Because when the ego develops, that's when you recognize that you're separate. Mm-hmm. You're a separate individual from the members of your family. And maybe that shows up like in a variety of ways. You like different foods than your family members. You have a favorite toy. You have favorite colors. You know, there's like a possessive quality to that that's developmentally really important, because we do have to have some boundaries, right? We have to recognize exactly. that we're different. You and I are different people, right?
Yes.
We're different from our neighbors. I think the problem becomes that the ego has a tendency to want to put a value judgment on those differences, that I'm better than you or you're better than me.
And where does that stem from, though? It stems from fear.
It stems from fear, but it also stems from our own repressed stuff.
Yeah. Like, yes. What is that repressed stuff, though?
Well, if I feel threatened by our neighbors who are messy, mm-hmm. it's because I have repressed the part of myself that's messy. Mm. I don't let myself be messy. Therefore, I'm agitated by their mess. Mm. So it's not that in this example that messy is good or bad. It's that it's activated for me because I have repressed my own messiness. It's been pushed down into my unconscious.
Yes.
So I think this is about, you know, speaking of values, which is Taurus, a value judgment is maybe a bit different, mm-hmm. but I think it's at the root of when boundaries become problematic or when the function of the ego becomes problematic. Mm-hmm. Because in and of itself, there's no problem with having like separate houses and having a front door that's closed, right?
Right.
But when I start to think my house is better than another house, something starts to build there. Mm-hmm. Something, there's a shift.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this is attempting to show us, because I think we're already struggling with a lot of ego. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, maybe in a larger sense, why this is amplifying an energy that I think is already fairly dominant at this time.
Because it needs to move. Even if the energy is dominant, the energy isn't shifting things as drastically or as much as it needs to. So you have to put more fuel on the fire to get it really burning.
Is this like the pot that boils over so that it can just shift? So that like it can just stop boiling?
Yeah. Exactly. So it can stop boiling. It needs to boil over.
It reminds me a little bit
like it boils over and you realize you have to turn down the heat, because now mm-hmm. you're making a mess of the kitchen. Like, we're testing our boundaries. That's what the ego does. Like, I want to look back to, you know, for the historians out there, you know, the last time Venus in Taurus formed a square with Pluto in Aquarius was April 7th, 1796. But that was at 28 degrees. That was at the end. And that was at the end of the French Revolution. The last time that Venus in Taurus formed a square with Pluto at 2 degrees, where it's forming this time, was when Pluto was retrograde. That was May 7th, 1533. But the last time that Venus in Taurus formed a square with Pluto in Aquarius, when they were both direct at 2 degrees, that was April 23rd, 1287. Like, what was going on then? Hmm. But this, like, when you talk about the cycles, this is a cycle that is coming back up again. And when you think about it in terms of the recent history, this is coming right after COVID. That was a traumatic event that occurred for all of the earth, all the people living on earth. And now we're picking up the pieces and figuring out how to rebuild. What's mine? What's yours? What are my values versus your values? Where does the line need to be drawn in order to protect my values? And so with Mars in Aries, like the funny thing is, or maybe it's not funny, but Mars is also going to be forming an aspect to Pluto.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very funny.
But it's a sextile.
Okay.
So it's a supportive aspect. It's air and fire. Pluto's in Aquarius, which is air. Mars is in Aries, which is fire. So that happens from April 30th to May 5th. So that's Tuesday to Sunday, with an exact sextile happening on Friday, May 3rd. The last time that Mars in Aries formed a sextile with Pluto in Aquarius was at 28 degrees on February 26, 1797. The last time that Mars in Aries formed a sextile with Pluto at 2 degrees, where it is right now, with Pluto being retrograde, because we're going to talk about Pluto retrograde too, that was May 18th, 1533. So a lot of these similar dates coming up. These are periods in history where there were massive changes happening on a societal level that were rooted in the individual ego of each person.
Mm-hmm. So you could say we're being invited into more conscious awareness of the ego. And of course, that can go one of two ways. It can either lead to more conflict, mm-hmm. or it can lead to an awareness of how to handle that conflict more mindfully.
Yes. For from a place of inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
Inner strength. And recognizing that the individuals around you are not a threat. They can strengthen you. And you can strengthen them. But if you're approaching them from a place of fear, then, well, you can still strengthen each other in that regard too. You know, whether it's love or fear. I guess it really doesn't matter. You know, we're going to be strengthening each other through what we're going to go through,
mm-hmm.
because of this.
Have you heard that expression, when the weather's good, you grow, and when the weather's bad, you grow?
Yeah, that's this.
Like for the flowers.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's this right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be responding to a conflict from a place of love, and it's going to make you stronger. You might be responding to a conflict from a place of fear, and that could make you stronger too. So going back to your original question of what does it mean when two planets are transiting through the signs that they rule, I feel like these transits are going to make us stronger. They're going to make us stronger in terms of our values and our senses, and they're going to make us stronger in terms of our self-awareness, our courage, our confidence in understanding who we are. This is who I am. This is what I value. And this is what I'm willing to do to protect what I value. That's where the challenge comes about. It's through that challenge that we grow stronger.
Mm-hmm.
The conflicts will make us stronger.
Hmm.
Hopefully.
They usually do.
Yeah.
If you can integrate them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the danger is that they get repressed and then they have to come up to be worked through at another time.
Yeah.
Okay. So some intensity.
Yes, and there's more intensity this week, because just to sprinkle in some salt to the wound is the moon will be transiting through Aquarius this week, the planet of emotions, transiting through Aquarius, which is fixed air, and will square the sun, the planet of light, life, and vitality, in the fixed earth sign of Taurus. The exact square occurs on May 1st, Wednesday at 4:27 a.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. So the planet of emotions, transiting through the sign that represents individuality, but also the community, society, squaring off with the sun, the planet of vitality, in the sign that represents your values, your self-worth. So in addition to Venus in Taurus squaring Pluto in Aquarius, you've got the sun in Taurus squaring the moon in Aquarius. So lean into it. Lean into the tension.
From a Jungian perspective, the best way to handle tension is to not pick sides and be willing to just be present with the tension. So there's a term called the tension of the opposites. Mm-hmm. And the belief is when the tension is held between these two extremes, that a third way will emerge. And the third way is the integration between the two opposites.
Yes.
So it reminds me of whenever I think of this concept of the tension of the opposites, is that moment when you're in a yoga pose and you go as far as you can stretch. Uh-huh. And you start to feel that pain and discomfort, and you just hold.
Yeah.
You just practice. It really can be a mindfulness exercise. Certainly that's one of the benefits of yoga, but practicing finding that point where you can hold the tension, but still remain within your window of tolerance.
Breathe through the tension.
Breathe through the tension. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get through those difficult yoga poses, is just focusing on the breath. So whatever you're experiencing this week, whatever tension, just breathe through it. Let's just get through the next breath.
Mm-hmm. But you also want to be mindful of only going as far as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, similar to how you don't overstretch in a yoga class, because yeah, then you're going to hurt yourself.
Exactly.
You want to engage with the tension to the degree that you can still meaningfully function in your mm-hmm. life. That's what the window of tolerance is about.
Yes.
And the more that you can process and breathe into that tension and stay within your window of tolerance mm-hmm. without going into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, that's how you know you're out of your window of tolerance.
What's fawn?
Fawn is like when you go into a people-pleasing kind of a mode.
Okay, right.
It's kind of the, maybe the lesser known.
Yeah, I never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Like fawning over somebody.
So it's, those are different trauma responses.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, flight, and freeze, we understand, but mm-hmm. fawn is one as well.
Yes.
So when you feel uncomfortable, you become even more like you want to please the person who's hurting you.
So that's interesting, because that might be something that comes up with this Venus in Taurus, where you're showering somebody with gifts mm-hmm. and luxuries to earn their favor
mm-hmm.
because you're in that trauma response with them. It's like right. an abuser, the abused, like saying, "What can I get you?" You know, to the abuser after they've abused them. It's like, let me get you, want some ice cream, or, you know, here's a beer, you know, or whatever they, mm-hmm. right? Would that be?
Yeah, it's really, I think, the response that attempts to kind of conceal the trauma the most,
mm-hmm.
I would say, because the others indicate, you know, if you're running away, clearly you're having a trauma response. If you're fighting, you know, there's like a shift in behavior that's more noticeable with the other responses, but with fawning, it's an attempt to cover up discomfort in a way that the other responses are, I think, a little more straightforward in terms of, like, I'm having a trauma response. Mm-hmm. It just is expressed in different ways.
Yes. Well, in thinking about the moon and the sun too, like the moon represents the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
The sun represents the conscious. So the squaring of the moon in Aquarius with the sun in Taurus, we're conscious of our values, but we're unconscious of our need potentially for the group. Or maybe we're being too selfish because we don't think we need the group, but we actually do.
Right.
So what is it that you need to become aware of in terms of the group and what you need from the group, how the group can benefit you. It's not just that the group is taking from you, but you also take from the group.
I would say collectively we're incredibly unconscious around what we need from the group.
Well, and that's what,
because we don't live in groups anymore.
Well, and the group could also be society in general.
Right, but we live in the Western culture, at least, really disconnected from community, from, we don't typically live close to our families anymore. We don't live in that tribal lifestyle anymore, which we haven't for a long time.
It's taken on a different form. It's not how it used to be, but it is still there in the form of social media. Social media is society. It is the group. So it's not in the way that you're describing in terms of living in a village with a group of people, or your family and this family and all these different families that have lived together for generations. But people are creating their own communities online.
That's true.
And when you talk about bringing it to light, that's what Pluto is doing, transiting through Aquarius, is bringing to light what is beneath the surface in terms of how we relate to others within the group construct. So Pluto begins its retrograde transit on Thursday, May 2nd. Pluto moved into its retrograde shadow on January 9th. Pluto's going to transit back into Capricorn in early September, and then it ends its retrograde at 29 degrees Capricorn on October 11th. It moves back into Aquarius in mid-November, but it doesn't move out of its retrograde shadow until February 2nd. So where Pluto is now on May 2nd, 2024, is where Pluto will be on February 2nd, 2025.
Okay.
So there's this long period where Pluto's literally in its retrograde shadow from January 9th, 2024 to February 2nd, 2025, over a year. That gives us a long period to really uncover the nuances of our relationship to the group or the community. Or is it non-existent? Are we being pulled out into society in a greater way? Well, that's what happens when you have conflicts over values, conflicts being Mars in Aries, values being Venus in Taurus. You can't hide if somebody is threatening your well-being. You have to come out. You have to face the conflict.
And there's really no time to relate with the unconscious either, because you have to be in conscious reality.
Exactly.
You have to be alert.
Yes, exactly. That's what Mars in Aries is: act first, think about it later. Don't think and then act. It's no, I hit first and then I worry about the, it's like, what's that phrase? Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. That's the Mars and Aries energy, where I'm gonna do what I want, and then I'll ask for forgiveness, whether they give it to me or not, whatever. But I'm not asking permission, because it's mine. It's that Aries energy. Take. This is mine. I'm gonna lead. I'm gonna charge ahead. So, wow, I didn't really intend for this to sound like such an intense week, but maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just an intense individual. I really feel like, you know, in thinking of the positive side, what's going to come about through these transits are greater self-awareness. Greater self-awareness, greater self-confidence, a deeper understanding of self and the values of self, your self-worth, what's worth fighting for, How can I contribute by being me? Am I contributing to the right group?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I need to find a different group that's going to appreciate my contribution? Am I appreciating the contribution from the group? Because if not, then maybe I need to be in a different group. There's going to be a lot of transformations around the group, society, over the next 20 years.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah?
I am.
Okay, good.
Our first question comes from Astashek. Hi, guys. Have you heard of people being sensitive to Saturn semi-squares? My Saturn is in Capricorn in the sixth house. Every 3 years, I have a big urge to shake up my work life in some way. Is it Saturn?
It sounds like it is. Absolutely. You know, even though it's a semi-square and it's not a full square, it's still affecting your Saturn. Every 3 years, it's making that aspect. But anytime Saturn is aligning with anything, you know, but especially if it's aligning with itself, whether it's a conjunction, is the Saturn return, a sextile, a semi-square, a square, a trine, an opposition. If Saturn is touching Saturn in your chart, it's going to create some sort of restructuring regarding your relationship to authority, your relationship to yourself as the authority. And for you specifically, Astashek, with Saturn in your sixth house, it's going to affect your daily routine, your health, your diet, your job.
Mm-hmm. And Saturn is also the father.
That's why it's the authority.
The authority, yeah, the father.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The father's the authority.
Right. Could this also be internal or external, would you say? Like, I understand that this is coming up for you in your work life, but I'm wondering, could this also mean yourself as a father internally within your own system, but also externally with your father or with the authority?
Well, Astashek could be growing in some way, which is why they are experiencing a shakeup in their work life, because they're growing into their power as the authority. And they recognize that the work that they're doing is not in alignment with what they feel that they've achieved.
Hmm.
That's my guess.
So it's like a process of leveling up.
Yes,
in a
exactly.
way.
That's what
climbing
happens.
Climbing that mountain.
Every time Saturn aligns with Saturn, there is a leveling up period that's occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have spent more time on Earth and are growing into greater wisdom, greater power.
Mm-hmm. And Saturn in Capricorn, if you wanted an image for it, it would mean that you have climbed higher up on the mountain.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for the question. And let us know, Astashek, how does that sound to you? Did the answer resonate with you?
Our next question comes from Christine. I heard the moon doesn't like being in Virgo. I'm curious if this affects me being able to trust my feelings / intuition when communicating as a moon and rising in Virgo with Mercury in Virgo too.
Yeah, well, thank you for the question, Christine. So your moon and rising sign and Mercury are all in Virgo. So that's a lot of thinking, a lot of mental work.
A lot of analysis.
And, you know, because Virgo is the perfectionist, that could create a inability to trust your feelings and intuition unless you actually see it. Like, so the intuition isn't something you can see. It's a feeling. You are wanting to see it. If you can't see it, then it doesn't exist. So it would be challenging for you, I imagine, not knowing the rest of your chart, that it would be challenging for you to trust your feelings and intuition with the moon, the rising sign, and Mercury all in Virgo, because Virgo's Earth, so you need to see it in reality.
Mm-hmm. Virgo also rules consciousness, right? The conscious mind. Because it's opposite Pisces, which is the unconscious.
Exactly.
So I wonder for you, Christine, if you can sense into your intuition in a more practical sense. Like I'm thinking about how intuition for some people comes through dreams or comes through the unconscious. But for others, I think intuition can feel really grounded in consciousness and in reality. So I would imagine that perhaps your relationship with intuition is just showing up for you differently, but that it is, you do have access to it in sort of your own version of it.
Because I also wonder, like, the moon and the rising sign are in Virgo. Is the moon in the 12th house? Is the moon in the first house? Because if the moon's in the 12th house, the moon's in the house of the unconscious. So that would indicate that there is strong intuition in her emotions, but maybe she doesn't trust it because of the Virgo nature. So there's that conflict. So it's not to say that she doesn't have intuition or feelings, but to really trust it, she needs to see it, touch it, taste it, feel it, smell it. It needs to be completely conscious that it's there. Now I know it's real.
So maybe there's just more steps towards being ready to act on that intuition than for someone else.
Yes,
without
absolutely.
As much Virgo energy.
Yeah, totally. For sure. For sure, potentially. Yeah. So I'm curious to know, Christine. Let us know. How does this sound to you? Okay. Well, thank you to our listeners. And thank you, Gabriella. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog-Lyman. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.